Of Out of Bounds. Starting at noon, we are going to talk lots and lots of college football. Week one matchups, coaches, hot seat, tense situations, quarterbacks, matchups. We're going to run the gamut. We also look forward to continuing our journey through the conferences to find the best win total plays. That'll be fun. And if you're not intrigued by any of that, maybe, just maybe, Ben Milstead can make me say words about Anthony Richardson and or Daniel Jones. Get excited, people.
Carolina and all the ships at sea. How are you today? I'm joined by young Sam today. Sam has already found a way to mention his Cleveland a bunch of losers sweeping my a bunch of loser mats. I'm not impressed.
And that's the only one I'll get on you.
Your team is playing well. My team is playing like crap. And they're just not mine anymore. I saw this woman put her child in a bag on an airplane and that she got caught. I have put the Mets in a bag on an airplane and I've sent them far away. I'm done. I'm not wasting any more of my valuable time on them. I just can't do it anymore. I don't understand why Taylor and Torrens, I keep saying this, I don't understand why those two dudes ever play before the eighth inning. You want to put one of them in the eighth inning as a defensive substitution, okay, but you cannot frigging play them every single day. And this moron Mendoza continues to do that. And I just don't get it. I mean, I just don't understand it at all. And again, like I said, neither one of these dudes, this is not a joke. This is for real. If you watch these idiots every day, you'd know this. Neither one of these dudes can hit the ball on the infield. Like I said before, you know, you could put a fence at the back of the cutout, and they still would have the same amount of home runs they have because they can't hit the ball out of the infield. It's just impossible to watch them. I hate it. I mean, I just don't understand it. And you know what? They haven't had left-handed pitching all year. They need another right-handed bat, which they didn't acquire. So, and Soto hasn't hit all year with men on base. I mean, he's hitting like, yeah, he's walked a million times. He leads Major League Baseball in walks in. Other than when there are men on base, he hits. But when there are men on base, he's hitting like 175. So, you know, he Soto actually gets worse than Taylor and Torrens when they're men on base. That's a problem. You know, I will say this. He has improved as a defensive outfielder, which I thought was impossible. And he worked really hard at his throwing. And he's made himself serviceable in that regard, where before he was just awful. I mean, that was my biggest worry. When the Mets invested in him, I was worried that he's just a hideous outfielder. But he's actually worked in that regard, so I give him some credit there. But we suck again, and I'm not doing it. At least I say I'm not doing it. We'll find out. You know, I don't know. Maybe I just like torture myself. I don't know. Maybe I do. Because watching the Mets right now is just torturous. There's no way around it. Do you know we've had one pitcher in the last like 45 games pitch six innings?
Had to be Holmes, right?
It was Peterson.
Really?
Yeah. Peterson. Holmes is a converted reliever, and he just starts falling apart right around the fifth.
Second time through seemed to get him against Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, look, when you play like losers, you get what you deserve. And, you know, the Mets should have won the first game. All they had to do was send Taylor, and our cowardly third base coach decided not to. And so that's what you get. You get what you deserve. And the Mets had all the momentum in that first game, coming back from 5-0, and that's all they had to do. But nope. We suck again. How about Rashawn Slater? Oh, my God. This is just too unbelievable. The Chargers seem like they finally have something going. I was really optimistic about the Chargers, looking at their schedule, loving their draft. I thought, yeah, this is the year. And, you know, they're planning on running Herbert more. We'll see about that. And we'll see whether that plan even still exists, because now the Chargers have lost Rashawn Slater for the year. And what's even worse is that about 4 days ago, they signed him to $113 million four-year extension, and now he's gone for the year. You talk about terrible timing, Sam. I mean, it's like the worst timing in history. This is why you have to wonder sometimes about these moves and these giant price tags on these guys. Again, the Chargers, 4 days ago, re-up Slater, $113 million four-year extension. Like, 4 days later, he's out for the year.
And it's a patellar, too. It's not. It's even worse than like an ACL or an MCL.
Exactly. There's no telling. There's no guarantee about his future at this point.
You mentioned the running for Herbert. I don't think it's going to be optional at this point. Yeah, I think it's just going to happen.
That might be.
Pipkins is just a roach on that line. He just doesn't die.
So they're either going to do that, or they're going to flip Alt probably to that side. But even so, I mean, look, the way you were situated with Rashawn Slater and all, the Chargers were really set to do some damage. I mean, they really were. And they were going to play a different style of football than everybody else in the league, which would have been a style that I think would have been conducive to playing against Kansas City, for example. But now I don't know what they are. I mean, that is a devastating loss for the Chargers. There's no way around that. Bill Gristle writes, enjoying the show, driving from Lubbock to Austin. The Texas Tech fans are what, Bill? I don't see the rest of it. What happened to the rest of it, Bill? The Texas Tech fans are, fill in the blank, obnoxious, excited. You know, they're spending more money than God. So, you know, they are going all out in athletics. They don't care anymore. They are just going to buy whatever they want. I told you this a while ago. There's a 5,000 word plus article on everything that's going on in Texas Tech and the amount of money that they are spending, and but there's some pressure to win that comes with that too, and I think they're feeling that. Now, look, I like McGuire. I think McGuire is a Texas legend, and I think he's a really good football coach, and I'm a fan of Baron Morton. You know, you lost some receivers. Baron Morton has a round one NFL arm. And so, you know, we'll see. I'm pretty optimistic about Texas Tech, and I think everyone should be. I mean, I said starting back in February I would rank them. And when I came out with my little rankings, I did rank them. And I now think that I think they're the most legitimate challenger to Arizona State in the Big 12 once the Retzlaff incident occurred, the violation of the BYU code. Big mistake to choose that school, Retzlaff. Big mistake.
Of all the places to go, with that in mind.
You're out. I mean, look, if I'm 18 to 22 years old and I'm looking around, or if I'm 18 years old and I'm looking around at schools, well, even the transfer portal, if I'm looking around at schools around the country and I get to the BYU honor code and I get to whatever number that is, I'm scratching them right off the list. They're
gone.
We should
have been suspicious of the BYU stuff from the first day.
Exactly. I mean, I can't go there. I have to go somewhere else. And now he's chosen the exact mortal lock opposite. Right. Right. You get bonus points at Tulane for getting more than your share. At BYU.
He'll have his fun.
That's right. That's right. So I'm not so sure about this revitalization of the Tulane football program under him. We'll see. He may be busy elsewhere. But yeah, I'm just not I'm up on Texas Tech, though. I mean, look, the Big 12 is going to be wildly competitive. I think you're going to have five or six teams in the mix. I believe Arizona State is the best team in the league. Look, Arizona State lose their best receiver last year. They would have beaten Texas. That's the reality. Anybody who watches that game knows. And Sam Levitt is pretty magical. He has a hypernatural ability to extend plays. He's a hard guy to even corral at all, and Texas found that out. And I think we're going to see more of the same, except now he does have his best receiver back. And so, yeah, they lose Scatabo, but I'm not all that worried about that. I think that team is legit. I think they're well coached. And I'm pretty sure they're going to be in the playoffs. And then beyond that, I think it gets really interesting. And you can make a case for four or five teams in that league. Again, I think given what happened at BYU, and look, I was super high on BYU. I mean, I thought BYU was going to win the league. I thought they probably should have won the league last year. They had the disappointing loss at home to Kansas. But look, with L.J. Martin, that running back room, that running back room was one of the five or six best running back rooms in America. And I thought with Retzlaff at quarterback, they were poised to really do some damage this year. And originally, I had them 8 in the country. I dumped them from 8 to 30-something because I just think you've got a completely different quarterback situation now. So I think that opens it up for everybody else. And for me, the next best team is Texas Tech. But, you know, you could have teams. Baylor could make an argument. Utah could make an argument. Kansas State could make an argument. Iowa State could make an argument. Kansas can make an argument.
A lot of good quarterbacks in this league coming back.
Yeah. The question is the weaponry. Like, you know, Beck is back at Iowa State, and everyone's high on Iowa State, but it seems like nobody's taken notice that they've lost three receivers to the NFL. And two of those dudes were stars, top 100 picks. I just don't think they have replacement pieces for those players.
And still didn't win the Big 12 last year at the end of the day with those two.
I'm down on them. I really am. I think they're more like 6-6. I keep hearing people talk them up, and I don't see it. I mean, I think Beck lost all his targets, and they're not a dominant team anyway. And I just think that where they won close games last year, those are going to be losses this year. I mean, they lost two big time playmakers, and I just don't see them. I don't see them replacing that. I mean, look, I'm not in love with Kansas State either. You lose an All-American caliber running back, was probably the best story, one of the best stories in college football last year, and was sort of kept on the down low, it seems. But and you also have some confusion about what they want to do with Avery Johnson. They don't want to run him, which is just a mystery to me. And they've said this, and I just don't get it. I mean, his greatest strength is as a runner. He's a developing passer, but his greatest strength is as a runner, and they really don't want to run him. They went out and added a bunch of transfer portal receivers, and the plan is to go more Avery Johnson. Again, this is at a school that Bill Snyder built, and he did it with dual-threat quarterbacks, and now apparently Kansas State has a dual-threat quarterback but doesn't really want him to be a dual-threat quarterback. That's a dumb plan. We'll find out. I mean, we're going to have that game in Ireland between Kansas State and Iowa State. The loser of that game is basically going to be eliminated. And I think Kansas State wins that game in Ireland. I'm not in love with either one of them. Actually, Sam, I am higher on Kansas. I think this is the year that Leipold returns to business. He got the terrible start last year. They went like 1-4, 1-5. And then down the stretch, they rallied and played good football. But you have a hammer for a running back, and in Daniels, you know, you have a very talented guy. His issue has been health, and, you know, I don't know if you saw the Kansas State game last year in Manhattan, but Kansas really controlled that game, and Daniels was the best player on the field, and Kansas wound up losing like 28-27 or 29-27, whatever it was. And now they get the return game in Lawrence, and I think Kansas is going to win that game. And so I'm sort of high on the Jayhawks. I think they might win 10. I mean, I think that's possible this year for them. I'm higher on that team. Baylor, I'm still not 100% sold on. They solved the quarterback issue with Sarah Robertson last year, and he's back, and he played pretty well. He's 6'4 and 230, and he has some ability. But I don't know where I stand on Dave Aranda. I'm not quite sure what Dave Aranda is. You know, before last year, he was like one
fire.
Right, he was one loss away from being ex Baylor coach, and I'm just not sure that situation still isn't sort of, you know, a seesaw, and that he could still fall off. I'm you know, it's going to depend on some of those early outcomes. They, of course, have a big OOC game early with Auburn. That's a really big, you know, OOC games aren't normally that big, but that's a big game for both coaches and both schools. I think both schools need that game because they win that game, and I think it sets them off on a positive season. They probably reach their goals and their outcome. The loser, though, I don't think I'd want to be the loser of that game. So it's a big game for both sides, and it's a tough game to call, too. I mean, I expect it to be really competitive, and that's what the line says, too. I think I favor Auburn a little. Again, Auburn last year, if people actually watch their games, they really led in like virtually every game. They controlled most of the games. They just found ways to play Santa Claus at the end of these games and give them all away.
The turnovers were downright ridiculous.
They were terrible.
Like,
I mean,
horribly timed,
right,
too.
The Oklahoma game, they're controlling the whole thing, and they're driving relatively late in the game, and they're in plus territory, like the 42 or 45, and they throw a pick six. I mean, you know, things you just cannot do. But, you know, their receiving core has obviously been upgraded, and their quarterback position, I think, has been upgraded. You know, it's going to be interesting. You know, an interesting game is going to be the return Auburn-Oklahoma game. That's game three or four, where Jackson Arnold is now going to be returning to Oklahoma as well, playing for the other side this time, and with more weaponry and probably feeling a little better about himself. And Auburn certainly owes Oklahoma one from the game last year. But I'm really high on Brent Venables in Oklahoma. I think he's going to be the coach at Oklahoma for as long as he wants, and I think Oklahoma is going to be very, very dangerous this year. I think Mateer is incredible as a college quarterback. I think he raises the entire level of that offense. But I think that Oklahoma defense is going to be top five in the country, and I think they have the second-best pass rush room in America, and I think people are sleeping on Oklahoma. It's amazing to me that we need to go to break. We'll talk about what's amazing to me on the other side. I'm joined by Sam, Waltip Tulip Road Rage. Quick break.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. The Beacon has served over 300 menu selections of burgers, barbecue, chicken, fish, and more for over 70 years. Jerry, what's been the most popular?
Chili cheese, I ain't playing today. I need flounder. Cheeseburger like a burger, make it crust. Give me a bacon whip, no trim.
Had a feeling you'd say that. Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John B. White Senior Boulevard in Spartanburg.
Hey, Plante.
We're here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, you need more people. Obviously, that's a good thing because the business is growing. But when someone comes to work for you, what do you hear from them about their work experience?
We're looking for team members who like to work outdoors and enjoy the culture of do the right thing. We're a company that's going to do right things for our employees, and then our employees do right things for the client and the community.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Concerned about a potential gas leak at home? No worries. Fort Hill Natural Gas, your safety-focused energy provider, has you covered. Natural Gas, renowned for its safety and reliability, ensures your household comfort while it's colorless and odorless. We've added a distinctive rotten egg scent for instant leak detection. If you ever smell a gas odor, act fast and call the Fort Hill Natural Gas office immediately. For more safety tips, visit FHNGA.com.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Tiger fans, beat the heat with Elkmont. Whether you're cooling off with a day at the lake, heading for cooler climates on vacation, or gearing up for game day, Elkmont has everything you need. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Vuori, Z-Supply, Columbia, and more, Elkmont is your destination for summer fun. Conveniently located in Powdersville and Clemson, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ElkMont TradingCompany.com. Go Tigers!
If your loved one is no longer comfortable living in their own home due to memory loss or aging, Dominion Senior Living is here to help. At Dominion, outstanding physical, emotional, and spiritual care is the standard. The community offers a modern, comfortable place to call home while providing personalized care to meet specific needs. Honoring God through service to seniors, Dominion Senior Living promotes vitality with support when needed. Visit DominionSeniorLiving.com for more information.
Hartwell Village is your one-stop shopping experience at the intersection of Tiger Boulevard and Pendleton Road in Seneca. With 15-plus retail and dining locations, including Buff City Soap, Rackroom Shoes, Marshalls, Petco, Five Below, Uptown Cheapskate, and Ulta. Dine with friends at Tipsy Taco, Iso Iso Ramen and Boba, Five Guys, Longhorn, or Chipotle. And after a day full of fun, refuel before you hit the road at 7-Eleven. Hartwell Village wishes Clemson fans a happy shopping experience and a fantastic football season. Go Tigers!
As an independent business owner, you're the expert in your field, but you may not have the time or resources to stay on top of tax forms and payments. Let David Green help you get back on track. With his expertise, he can implement the best IRS programs to resolve any tax issues you face. Whether it's with the IRS or South Carolina state taxes, call us today at 271-7940 or visit greenlaw.legal for a free consultation to discuss your situation.
What's going on, everybody? Facts and Childress here from Facts on Sports. I'll be live alongside John Hyde from 9 a.m. to noon, as always, on the Monday edition of the program. On Monday, we'll be recapping a full weekend in the sports world, Atlanta Braves series versus the Miami Marlins, college football updates with quarterback battles, NFL preseason, and more. And we will continue getting you ready for the upcoming college football season, which is going to be electric for not just Clemson, but for the entirety of the country. We look forward to hearing from you at 654 Roar on Monday. See you soon.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for the Upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Skinner on a Friday. You know, I heard Scott from Greenville ask Ben and Kwok, you know, who they listened to when they were growing up. And, you know, I don't know. I would have to think about that. But, you know, I know one person Ben listened to was me, because Ben was I think he was working as a producer for Will Merritt, and he used to write me every day. So he was serving two masters, because he was listening to my show every day, wherever he was. I think that's who it was. I think he was working with Will Merritt. I'm not 100% sure of that. I think Merritt had his own studio and stuff. Lots to get to. I don't even know if I had somebody like that, somebody that I listened to regularity. I'm not sure. I'm not positive of that. We will, of course, have some Friday frivolity stories for you later today, as we usually do. We will get to those things. Speaking of frivolity, although this was of the Thursday type. I give you the Indianapolis Colts quarterback depth chart. With Anthony Richardson and or Daniel Jones top that chart.
Which it's a doozy.
Yeah, it's a little like choosing between herpes 1 and herpes 2. You know, it's there's not really a choice to be had there. None of those things that start with the word herpes are generally good. You know, I'm not entirely sure that long-term their best answer isn't going to be Riley Leonard, because at least I think Leonard has a little bit of an it factor. I have no idea what Richardson or Daniel Jones are. You know, it's just unbelievable that when Richardson came out, they wanted to compare him to Josh Allen. Because that's what they were doing. They were actually trying to make a case for a more athletic Josh Allen. That's what they were trying to make the case for with Richardson, except that Richardson has always been wildly inaccurate and really had very little college playing experience. And look, I'm not saying he doesn't have any possibility somewhere, sometime. It just doesn't seem like that time is now. And I am saying that Daniel Jones doesn't have a time because – look, when the New York Giants drafted Daniel Jones sixth, I was just shocked. Absolutely shocked. I thought, you know, look, he was at best a round two quarterback at best. And you know, you had Dumb Dave there taking him. And you know what the idiot actually said? He said, I watched one pass he made in the Senior Bowl, and that's when I decided. Okay. Well, that's why you don't work anymore.
Seems like we needed to watch many more passes to justify
more passes. Yes, more passes. Required more passes. Yeah, yes, many, many more passes. So, you know, and so poor Tyler Warren finds himself exactly in the situation that Brock Bowers was in with the Raiders. As an incredibly talented player for a team that has nobody who can throw him the ball. Now, somehow, Brock Bowers, playing with that motley crew of characters at quarterback, managed to catch 112 balls, which might be the greatest achievement in the history of football.
They had 2,000-yard receivers on that team. Yeah, only two teams in the league had that.
It's astonishing.
Year.
It's astonishing. But a kid tight end with 112 catches when you don't have anybody who can throw a ball. Now, of course, most of them are like 3 yards, and there's that. That's that issue. But Warren finds himself perhaps in a similar situation. We'll see what he can do with it. But so Sam, you know, I haven't spoken a lot about the NFL as yet. I have picked two divisions, although one of my picks hangs in the balance because of the Micah Parsons situation. Now, I'm thoroughly convinced that the Dallas Cowboys drag out every single salary situation with key players solely because Jerry Jones has a bigger goal than winning football games. It's building his empire and his business, and he wants Dallas front and center in the news all the time. And the way they achieve that is by dragging these things out and keeping them alive. And so they're always in the news. I mean, Jerry was out there again talking, being interviewed by a million people the other day. And I think that's the case with Parsons. I mean, look, were there some personal things said in that situation? Yeah, but again, if you ask me where Micah Parsons winds up before the season, it's still going to be Dallas. I mean, I know there's been a little...
You're not trading him 3 weeks before the season. No one's going to give you what you want or what he's worth, realistically.
No, I know there's been a little talk from Falcon circles about their involvement and, you know, and their package offer. But it would be sort of strange because the Falcons spent major resources on acquiring two edge guys in last year's draft, and the second one was Pierce, and people thought that was too much, but that's what they did.
They don't have a first-round pick to throw at him this year anyway, right, if they wanted Parsons.
Right. So it would be a little odd to make that kind of deal. And, oh, by the way, and look, I got a guy who's really connected in Atlanta who laid out that whole deal. I don't see that deal as possible unless Dallas were to throw in one of those two edge guys, and they would probably want Walker. You're just not getting something for nothing. And could I see it from the Falcons standpoint? Yeah, an experienced edge guy as opposed to a couple of rookies. I could see it, but I don't think it's going to come to fruition. I think that Parsons winds up in Dallas. And if Parsons winds up in Dallas, I'm actually high on Dallas for the first time as long as I can remember. I think that You know, people talk about Dak, and they act like Dak is terrible. But it was just 2 years ago. Dak led the league. He was the best quarterback from a rating standpoint in the National Football League. And quarterbacks are dependent on the receivers. They've had one dude. Now, listen, George Pickens is a world-class pain in the A. I mean, and always has been, and still is. But the good news for Dallas is he's going to be in a salary drive. And, you know, you generally expect that you can get 1 year of being a good citizen, even out of the worst character. And so I think Dallas can get that. You know, George Pickens thinks he's a number one, which, of course, he's not. He's a two. But in Dallas, he's going to be a two. And then the two's a three. So, you know, I think that suddenly gives Dak a lot of weapons. And I think Pickens is going to want to show out for this year and then really hope to collect a WR1-type payday. So I think you're going to get the best out of him for one season. And Dallas has a lot of dudes that can rush the passer. They've got to prove they can hold up to the run. That's been an issue at times. But I'm actually sort of optimistic about Dallas, Sam, again, depending on whether they get Parsons in the fold.
Well, the pendulum on Dak swings as wildly as any player in the league perception-wise every year. Yeah. We can talk about the playoffs all we want, but you got to get there first.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, pretty good regular season quarterback.
Yeah.
Especially 2 years ago. Like you said, he was one of the best in the league. So you give him two guys to throw to and then a competent tight end and what should be a pretty solid, competent offensive line, all things considered. Yeah, I think they're going to be fine. I mean, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender in any way, but I do think they are a very solid contender to lock up one of those wild card spots and do what they tend to do in the playoffs every year. That is all dependent, however, of course, on what they do with Micah Parsons here. Generally speaking, I don't know why they didn't just get ahead of the market with him. He said he was willing to do it. Do we believe that? I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and give him the benefit of the doubt. But just get ahead of the market. It would have saved them a lot of money if they would have paid him before Watt and Garrett and inevitably whatever some team, if that's not Cincinnati, gives Hendrickson. Now you're going to have to go above and beyond all of that, and he has the case to argue for it now. It's just silly.
The Hendrickson thing is really unbelievable. It's the Bengals holding true to their historical roots of being an insanely cheap franchise. I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, you have Hendrickson and Stewart, and you slow played them both. You had no defense last year at all. Hendrickson was your only defense. You load up on offense. I mean, what are you going to be, an 8-9 team and play 40-38 games every week in a league where that doesn't happen? I mean, that's what you're headed for. I mean, certainly they're going to sign Hendrickson at some point, but even the way they've handled the Stewart thing, just dumb. I mean, I don't understand the nature of that franchise at all. Never really have.
I was legitimately stunned they paid both Chase and Higgins. I couldn't believe they ponied up to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and again, look, they are loaded on that side of the football, but the dilemma is, I mean, look, you can make a case they might be the best offensive team in football, and they might be among the worst defensive teams. And there's no, look, that's not an end of rainbow resume in terms of what it takes to win. So I don't know. I mean, again, at some point they'll sign Hendrickson, but why you didn't want to keep that guy happy is beyond me. I mean, at the very least, he's going to be somewhat disgruntled. It probably won't affect his play because he's that type of dude, but, I mean, he's an insanely impactful guy in terms of affecting opposing quarterbacks and how they've handled this like that. Look, this is a team that went forever without an indoor practice facility, and their whole history is cheapness. So nothing really surprises me. Maybe
still
they
still got to cross the street to get to practice.
Yeah,
right under that bridge.
Yeah.
I've driven over it a million times.
Yeah, maybe they just want to sell tickets. Maybe that's all. Maybe they don't really care about winning. Maybe offense sells, and maybe that's all they care about. I'm not sure, but they have to somehow rectify that. But, you know, look, I think Dallas has a chance to be a competitor in the NFC. I mean, listen, there's some upheaval in the league. Obviously, Detroit has two new coordinators. I still think Detroit is loaded as a football team. And last year, they were absolutely devastated by injuries. I mean, the defensive side of the football was basically a total wreck. And, you know, they're going to have all those guys back, Hutchinson and company. And I just think, I think they have too much talent. I'm not so sure that the situation with the coordinators is really going to matter all that much. I think I think they have the depth and talent to be a factor regardless. I think the 49ers bounce back. I would expect them to play pretty well. I'm concerned about the Eagles. I knew the Eagles would crush the Chiefs last year. It was like just a mortal lock given. It was a complete line of scrimmage mismatch. And the Eagles, you know, lost a few pieces. I think it's hard for any running back coming off a 2,000-yard season to repeat that type of performance. It's just not the way the league works, you know. So I don't want to say that injuries in Saquon's history or future, but it was in his history, and I wouldn't be shocked to see it in his future. The other thing is the NFC just does not have teams repeat. It just doesn't happen. It hasn't happened in over 20 years.
That division specifically, it's a different winner every year.
Both the division and the league. The league has had different champions for over 20 straight seasons. But yes, the division too. The division's like 23 or 24 years, and the league is 20. So it doesn't happen. And until it does, I'm guessing it's not going to. So I do not think it will be the Eagles this year. I think it's open. I think it will be somebody else, and we'll see. You know, look, when you have Detroit and Minnesota in that division, and Green Bay, where I think Jordan Love is going to have a big year. You've got a lot of people already projecting Jordan Love as an MVP candidate. I think you have three elite teams in that league, and then you have the Bears, which again they should be improved,
competent.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they should be able to upset some people. They've certainly surrounded Caleb Williams with everything he could possibly ask. You know, it's interesting. Not only do you have Ben Johnson, Sam, but you have all these weapons that they have catered to Caleb Williams with over now. And, you know, and Caleb Williams talking about his goals for the year and 4,000 yards. You know, you'd like to hear something about wins first out of his mouth. But if he does not play well this year, there is going to be significant heat on him and that franchise by the end of the year. He really needs to play well, and I'm not sure what to make of him at this point. I have some questions, but again, they've given him everything. They've given him all the tools he could possibly ask for. You know, something that, whether you believe in him or not, Justin Fields never had any of that stuff when he was in Chicago. Nothing. He had the worst offensive line in the league. He had absolutely no weapons. He had idiots for coaches. He had nothing. He had no chance. Caleb Williams has been given every chance. So if he performs badly, there are going to be people taking a hard look at him at the end of the year. Walt Tepetula, Road Rage, quick break.
Hey guys, dealing with ED or low T? Don't just accept it. Act like a man and fix it. Your old lady will thank you. Guaranteed. At Low Country Male, testosterone and ED plans start at just $5 a day. You'll get labs, unlimited doctor visits, and real results. Right now, get 2 months of free ED meds with any new plan, plus 30% off NAD Plus and peptides. With 8 South Carolina locations, it's time to make men men again. Visit lowcountrymail.com.
Have you envisioned your dream home nestled on a breathtaking lakeside property? Hunter Quinn Homes can make your vision a reality with our Homesites program. With Homesites, you can build on your land by customizing one of our award-winning floor plans to suit your style, making it uniquely yours. Don't settle for cookie cutter. Our experienced local team will guide you every step of the way, ensuring a stress-free process. Search for Hunter Quinn Homesites online and start building your dream home in the upstate, one exquisite detail at a time.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. Your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Whether it's date night, friends night out,
Tuesday lunch with your coworkers, or just because. Southernside Brewing Company has the perfect drink to complement your mood. Sip on a crisp Aravel Sauvignon Blanc. Indulge in a refreshing Ruffino Prosecco. Or savor the rich flavors of a Juggernaut Pinot Noir. They've also got your favorite sodas, and their special mocktails are perfect for a sweet or spicy twist. Southernside Brewing Company, your go-to for great drinks and even better times at 25 Delano Drive in Greenville.
Do you love Takis Fuego chips? Well, you've never had them like this. If you never tried them, now's your chance. Wendy's new Takis Fuego meal is here with crushed Takis Fuego chips on a spicy chicken sandwich with chili lime sauce and a creamy corn spread, plus a small Fuego fries inspired by Takis Fuego chips, and a bag of Takis Fuego chips while supplies last, and a small drink available till midnight or later. Visit your local Upstate Wendy's to give it a try today.
Hey, Joe Fortenball here. Whether you're locking in your home run picks or riding with your favorite golfers this summer, ESPN Bet is your sportsbook for all the action. Go from checking stats on your favorite teams and players to placing bets in just a few taps. Plus, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with the promo code JOEQ to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
An official message from Medicare.
I turned 65 this year. I knew it was time to figure out Medicare, and I had questions, like when to enroll and how to enroll. So I went straight to the official source, Medicare.gov, to get the facts about Medicare. I found answers to all my questions, and I'm ready to get started. And so can you. Just go to Medicare.gov to get the real facts about Medicare.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The Roar, the only media outlet where you won't need a two-step authentication to access.
It's going to be exciting.
The Roar, where every day's game day.
When I heard that sound, when the walls came down, I was thinking about you, about you. When my skin grows old, when my breath runs cold, I'll be thinking about you, about you.
Seconds from my heart, I put it from the door.
Walked up to the Red Rage. We're back. You know, see, this is the kind of nonsense that I get. This is a South Carolina fan on Twitter, Josiah Tricocki. You become such a Clemson shill and sad to see. Used to think you knew ball well. This is after my tweeting. I don't pick anybody to go unbeaten. I believe 11-1 regular season Clemson will play 11-1 regular season Penn State for national title. Something I've been saying since February 1st. But look, here's the thing. First of all, I picked Clemson 12th last year, all right? So I'm anything but a Clemson homer. And anybody who listens, hears, reads, knows this, is cognizant of that. I just tell you how it is. Sometimes how it is favors you, and sometimes how it is doesn't favor you. Last year, how it was didn't favor Clemson. And again, I picked Clemson 12th before the year, said they'd sneak into the playoffs, win the ACC barely, over Miami and SMU preseason. So I had all that stuff exactly right. There was no homerism. There was no picking Clemson to win a national title. It had nothing to do with it. There was no picking Clemson to play for national championships. In fact, I was vociferous about the fact there was no way that was going to happen last year. That team was nowhere near good enough. So you find the homerism in that, idiot. Meanwhile, I've been saying nothing but good things about South Carolina. See, this is why you people can't have nice things, because I've said nothing but good things about Carolina, written nothing but good things, said nothing but good things, and that's what you come back at me with? I mean, this is dumb. Absolutely dumb. And oh, by the way, it's not just me picking Clemson to be elite this year. I may have been first, there are armies of people who seem to believe that now. So I guess they're all Clemson homers too, like all those national people. I guess they're all Clemson homers. All the people who are suddenly looking at Clemson as a serious contender, they're all homers too. Huh, Josiah? Is that what you're saying? Don't be dumb. Don't be a child. I mean, because that's such childish nonsense. I have no time or place for that kind of crap. None. I mean, like you couldn't pick out a worse source to bring that to. Because again, I have treated you people more fairly than anybody and given you every reason to be optimistic about your season. I have repeatedly talked up Lenora Sellers in the face of all this. He's just a running back stuff. I have talked up South Carolina in terms of the notion that their defense is going to suck this year because they lost everybody. I've said, in fact, I think this is going to be Beamer's best team from an eye test standpoint. So, you know, I've even said that it's not impossible that South Carolina wins the SEC this year. But you write me with that. Sometimes I just don't know about the mentality. But Josiah, you can't be more clueless than you just demonstrated in that writing. And you know, again, it makes me want to do the exact opposite now. Maybe it makes me want to actually start attacking you people. So don't do that. Don't do that. You don't want me doing that. Trust me, you don't want me doing that. You don't want to play those games with me because you're not winning. All right. I mean, and this is what I wrote. I wrote, God, what an idiot. I picked Clemson 12th last season, so you have no effing idea what you're talking about. Meanwhile, I've done nothing but talk up you Gamecocks, such a child. I mean, that's the reality. And all the Gamecock fans who listen, follow, they all know this. They all know this. You know that you get a fair shot here from 3-7, always. And again, if you suck, I'm going to tell you suck. Alabama. You know, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. By the way, Sam, I am once again down in Alabama. You know, kickoff show last year, we had people picking Alabama to be, you know, in the national championship game, to be right there. And I said, they're not making the playoffs. I mean, there's no way. And it was just patently obvious they weren't making the playoffs. Kalen DeBoer was a wizard, Sam. He was God's gift to football. He's the greatest coach ever. You know, he's just going to go and they're going to keep winning and all this stuff. And what people around the globe failed to understand about Alabama last year is that Nick Saban can say whatever he wants. He can say this is about an NIL situation, whatever. That's all crap. Nick Saban's as disingenuous as they come when it comes to this stuff. Nick Saban stopped coaching football last year because he knew that team sucked. That's why he stopped. He stopped coaching them because he knew they were no good. He knew he had no this guy was in the business of winning national championships. He was not in the business of producing four-loss football teams. And he hated Jalen Milroe, and he didn't think he was going to win anything with Jalen Milroe. And that's the reason that Nick Saban stepped away. That's the real reason. He could say whatever he wants. That's the reason. And oh, by the way, he was right. He was right. And I said that then. I said, look, man, I said at the kickoff show, I said, listen, the reason Saban is out is he doesn't want to coach this team. There's your sign. There's your sign. But there's another thing here. You know, Sam, you are a pretty studied young college football fan. So I'm going to give you a chance to answer a question that no other producer has answered yet this week correctly. And I'm doing this not to trick anybody or embarrass anybody. I'm doing this as a point of emphasis about something. First of all, have you heard me ask any producer a question about Alabama?
I have not.
Okay.
I'm in the dark.
All right. Name a starting Alabama defensive player.
Keon Sapp.
See, this is why this is tough. And Sam was able to identify a starter, but the reason it's tough is because there are no proven commodities over there.
They lack the elite. This is what I'm down on them too. Right. I've got them losing four games or five games
or
possibly.
Six games.
They don't have the same. You can talk all you want about the quarterback situation. It'll probably figure itself out one way or another during the year, which isn't great to begin with. There's not the same amount of high end round one. Elite talent right. That Saban had on that defense necessarily year in, year
and
out.
That everybody I would have asked that question of would have known the answer to. When Saban was here, everybody knew Will Anderson. You know, everybody knew Dallas Turner, etc. You know, there were answers that even six-year-olds in Iowa would have come up with. You know, everyone knew. Now, no one knows. No one knows. And the only guy people talk about is Overton. Okay, Overton is a five-tech, odd front defensive end who's going to have like two sacks. All right, so if that's what you're banking on, Overton, good luck with that. Okay, I see people talk about him as round one. We'll see about that. More like round two, maybe. And I'm not saying that there isn't some young talent here. There is. Russell might turn into a player. You know, they're gonna get production. They got some production on some of these young players last year. What I'm saying is the elite household names for Alabama that were such a fixture of the world of college football, they are not there anymore. And there's a reason for that. It should be obvious. This should slap you right in the face that, oh no, you know, we just don't have enough dudes. We don't have enough proven dudes, and they don't. Again, the guy I keep hearing talk about is LT Overton. Okay, you can save that. That guy is not changing the face of your football team in any way, shape, or form. Okay, it's not happening. And offensively, look, they have elite receivers. Okay, you could probably say that past Clemson, Ohio State, that they probably have the second best group of receivers. When you have Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard, and they brought in Isaiah Horton, they have dudes at receiver. There's no question about that. But that takes a quarterback, and we don't know anything about Ty Simpson at this point. I watched him in the spring. The only thing I was able to ascertain from him in the spring was that he'll be more accurate in short and intermediate throws than Milroe was. But whatever magic he had as a high school player, and he did, it seems to be gone. I don't know what happened to him, but it seems to be gone. And I would ask the same question about him that Spurrier asked about Texas. You know, Spurrier asked, well, you know, if Arch Manning is so great, if he's a Heisman contender, then why was he not playing over an injured Quinn Ewers last year? Okay, well, if Ty Simpson is all that, why wasn't he playing over a dreadfully inconsistent Jalen Milroe last year? Why? And the answer seems, I mean, is Kalen DeBoer an idiot? Is that where we are? I'm seeing... You know, Feldman came out with his 101 freak athletes, this expanded list, and he's basically putting Alabama's whole offensive line on the list. You know, you've got Parker Brailsford talking about them winning the Joe Moore Award. Hey, man, block your grandmother first before you start talking about winning the Joe Moore Award. You know, look, Proctor is a dude. You can have the rest of them, including Parker Brailsford. You know, you can give me whatever pro football focused college stats you want. I mean, you know. They hire 10-year-olds from foreign countries to do that crap, and they don't know their A from their elbow, and I just don't buy any of that. And Parker Brailsford is not a bad player, but he's a 290-pound center. And there is a rule of physics when it comes to offensive line play. I explained it yesterday, like on the road, when a Mercedes Smart Car meets an H1, the Mercedes Smart Car may have all the safety technology in the world. It would be squashed like a bug if it runs into an H1. And Parker Brailsford is the same thing. You know, he's fine at 290 against some teams, and then sometimes he goes up against 330, and he's just going to be bullied, just going to be moved around. And when we get to the NFL draft, he's going to suffer because of that. I mean, he'll be lucky to be drafted because he's 290 pounds. He can't change that equation. Honestly, he looks lighter than that when you look at him. When you look at that dude, you would not think he's even a center. But all these guys are on the freaks list. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing, Sam. They have so many freaks, yet somehow they only rushed for 70 yards against crappy Oklahoma. Somehow, they averaged 2 yards a carry against crappy Oklahoma at the end of last year. They're just mysteries to me. Like, one of the mysteries is there are people picking Bama first, second, third in the nation. I mean, Josh Pete picked them second or third, whatever he did. I mean, wake up. Wakey, wakey. I mean, how do you get to that? I mean, the last time we saw Alabama, they got drilled by Oklahoma 24-3, and then they got whooped by Michigan, whose whole team had quit. None of those dudes were playing, and they still beat Alabama. Oh, by the way, neither Oklahoma nor Michigan had a quarterback who could throw a freaking forward pass, but they still whooped up on Alabama. And so we come into this year, Sam, and all I hear is Brent Venables is going to be fired. And meanwhile, Kalen DeBoer is a genius, and his team's going to finish first, second, or third. despite the fact that Alabama, knowing they had to win a game against dreadful Oklahoma to get to the playoff. That's the most embarrassing part of the whole thing. They lost 24-3. They got destroyed. Oklahoma couldn't throw a forward pass. They didn't need to. Arnold threw like 10 passes. They rushed for 250 yards on 50 carries versus this defense with all these, you know, unknown guys. And meanwhile, they held Alabama to nothing rushing. Zero. Like nothing. Nothing. But Alabama has the Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line. Okay. Quick break.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we've represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different,